The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
I'm gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. I'm gonna go out walking in the world.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hey, Ira. How are you this week?
Doing well. Doing well. So far, so good.
Glad to hear it, buddy. Nice to hear your voice again.
Indeed.
So we'll jump right in. Yeah. I know you love me, too. So jumping right into Sunny Stories this week. This one was, I thought, really interesting. It was another military story, and it's about a girl who gives up her seat on the plane. She says, after already being at the airport since 4-ish and dealing with a 2-hour layover that turned into a 2.5-hour layover and then a 3-hour layover, plus my huge disappointment and nibbling at an overpriced crappy chicken salad sandwich and trying to drink a very lackluster hot chocolate, basically just having a huge pity party, something changed in my heart. God put a stop to all of my complaining right away. I met the nicest soldier who had just spent nearly 2 days in 6 different flights to try to get back home to San Antonio after being away from her husband for 6 months while serving in Jordan. The flight was getting ready to board and was sold out, and her chances of getting on as a standby looked very slim. I overheard the conversation without a second thought. I immediately offered my seat. She was so incredibly grateful, she nearly cried. We hugged and she expressed her incredible gratitude. I couldn't believe how nice she was. She was thanking me. It is I who am most grateful for her service and continuing to fight for our freedom to even allow me to be in this position, to have the luxury of getting to travel whenever and wherever. I was immediately moved to help out this soldier who has done so much more for me than I could ever repay her and so many for. This was the least I could do. So I encourage each and every one of you to consider giving up your seat for a soldier trying to get back home. While my day is lasting a great deal longer, her return home just became a great deal shorter. So what do you think about that one?
That is really cool. Now, I totally agree with that kind of thing. Not only soldiers, but, you know, elderly people, pregnant women, you know, hey, you can stand up for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, or move to
not
a different seat.
You.
You know, it's not going to hurt you. Right. So do it. It's not a big deal. You know, they need the help.
They need the help and they deserve the help. And her
exactly.
attitude, insofar as the whole thing was, you know, very admirable. And that's how I think we all as American citizens should treat our soldiers. They just don't get treated well enough,
yeah.
especially when they come home. And, you know, you and I have discussed that many times on previous shows.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that one was cool. Okay, for Positive Phenomenon this week, this story really touched me. It's about a man named Bill Connor, and he's from Madison, Wisconsin, who lost his daughter Abigail back in January of this year. And this man actually traveled 2,600 miles on a cross-country bike ride, stopping on Father's Day to hear his daughter's heartbeat in the recipient's heart. When the daughter died, her organs were donated, and they found a match for her heart. And he traveled 2,600 miles cross country on a bicycle on Father's Day to be able to listen to his daughter's heartbeat again. So that's what this story is about. It really, really touched me. So to help deal with his grief, he embarked on this cross-country bike ride. And he says, seeing my daughter on life support and finding out that her organs were already matched up and ready to be harvested made it a little bit easier that we were helping someone in need, is what he says. Abigail Connor's heart was donated to Lamont Jack Jr. from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he comes on to say, she saved me and I can't repay her. All I can do is send my love to his family, meaning the dad. So Connor stopped in Baton Rouge, Louisiana to meet this recipient of his daughter's heart. And Ira will post the video that goes along with it. It's very touching. they actually show him putting a stethoscope up to Luann's heart, and he says, "She's alive. Jack's alive. This isn't about me. It's about Abby and helping other people in need." It's unfortunate that she didn't have a choice on how she was going to leave this earth, but at the same time, just like Abby, making an impact even though she left. It's just like his daughter to do something like that, to give a gift that, you know, a gift of life. How beautiful is that? It really touched me. I get chills when I watch the video. What do you think?
Well, you know, my wife is, yeah, my wife is somebody that, you know, when she was younger, they told her she'd have to have a transplant by the time that she was 16. And, you know, she's not had to have one yet because, luckily she's, been healthy enough and her heart hasn't expanded out enough to warrant that kind of thing. But you know, it would be the same way if she ended up having a transplant done sometime in the future. You know, if the person, the family members or whatever of the person that she received that gift from wanted to hear it or participate in that, you know, hey, we would love it. It would be no problem to us. You know, again, just like what you were saying, you know, this person is still alive through the survivor that's there, you know? So, amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I get chills. Yeah, it's amazing when they're able to find a match. There's a personal friend of mine that just received a heart transplant, and it's an amazing story, you know, being able to find a recipient, have the operation, have it be successful, and watching that person, you know, thrive and flourish and come back to good health and be able to spend more time with their family when, you know, the possibility is pretty slim that you're going to find a perfect donor, you know, but to have that miracle of life blessed to you is just amazing to me. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's go. Let's get out of here. I can't. Moving on to
the feels. I can't handle it. The feels.
Going on to Furry Heroes. This also is a video Ira can post for you. It's a really cool story. It's about a homeless dog, and they named the homeless dog Betty Boop. And the video shows this dog with, like, all of these teeth. She's obviously just had babies, and she's limping down the road. And the story says that she traveled 2 miles a day to get into the city to find food. And so obviously you're already under the assumption that she's doing it for her babies. And they've got a video of her limping down the street. It's just so heart-wrenching. And the story goes on to say that every time she was rescued, she would escape from where she was rescued from. And, you know, they would find her, you know, like there's one picture that shows her in, like, it looks like an old building, like a dilapidated building. And so when they caught her again, they brought her to the vet, and the vet had confirmed that Betty had recently given birth. I mean, it's pretty obvious she's got all these nipples, you know. It's
right.
Pretty obvious she just had babies. So with the help of a group called Pinky Paws Rescue, the search for her puppies began. And so, you know, basically from the looks of it, they just walked around and let the dog lead them and followed the dog to where she wanted to go. And they actually found her 10 puppies safe in an abandoned barn. And so, you know, the video shows the rescuers taking the babies out in a crate and bringing her to, like, a kennel. And she's reunited with her babies. And just the look on this dog's face and the joy and the ecstasy there is so cool to watch in the video. She's just, you could tell she's so incredibly happy to be reunited with her babies. And obviously, you know, the reason she kept escaping every time she was, you know, rescued was because she had to find her kids. She had to find her babies. She was worried about her babies. And so she's reunited with them, and it's a happy ending. And just the look of joy on the dog's face and the puppies playing with her in the kennel, it was incredibly heartwarming. You know, and we did a story about this several months ago, too, with Furry Heroes, where, you know, there were, remember the one dog that was traveling like 2 miles every day, and she'd meet the lady on the side of the road that would meet her and give her a bag of food to take back to a place where there were other animals, and she would share it with the other dogs. Do you remember that one?
I do. Yep.
Yeah, very similar to that. I mean, you see this poor thing limping down the street, you know, looking for food, you know, traveling 1.5 miles every day into town to get food for her babies. And then here the rescuers are thinking, oh, we'll help her, you know, we'll take her in. And she's escaping because she wants to get back to her kids. You know, I thought that was so cool.
Well, it's a great example of when people try to claim that dogs or cats or whatever, they don't have consciousnesses and they're not, you know, they're just dumb animals, basically. It's a perfect example of exactly when they're not, you know, the reasons why they're not. They have just as much feelings as we do, you know.
For real. Yeah. It's just incredible. They're so smart. And, you know, some of them are just so incredibly maternal that they just... they won't stop. It's just like the animals that get, you know, moved across country and then go back to, you know, travel miles to go back to their original home.
Hey, I got a great example of exactly that. My cat Nala, I had her for a few years. When I moved into a place, the people that lived there before me, they moved out, and the neighbors to me was actually the guy's mom and dad. So they knew everything that was going on. And when I came home from work one day, there was a cat that was sitting on the porch, and the neighbor ended up seeing her and said, "Hey, that's Nala." And I said, "Well, who's this?" And she said, "That was my son's cat. And when he moved out, he took her to a farm that was about 50 miles away from where our town was, and dropped her off." And this was like 4 months before she showed up at my door. She was declawed.
Yeah.
So she survived declawed for 4 months, going from her barn home back to her original home. And, you know, in that kind of a situation, you can't say, you know, hey, I can't keep her, or, you know, going to take her to a shelter. This was her home. This was what she knew as home. And she traveled that far to get back home. No, she's here. She's with me, you know. So we kept
absolutely.
Her.
Oh, we kept her. So cool. Yeah. I like the name too. It reminds me of was not Lion King, right?
Yeah, Nala, Lion King. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very cool. Yeah, their animals are amazing. I look at mine every day, and they're like my own kids. You know, you get so attached to them. They're so incredibly smart. Mine the other day, I heard crinkling, and you know, I adopted my puppies from Tennessee, right? From that awful place that they
right.
were. And I had acquired a loaf of butter bread, which is kind of hard to get up here. Well, I got to be honest. And it's a southern bread baked with butter, and you don't find it too much up here. So I had a loaf on the counter, and I was actually sitting here at the table working, putting the show together. And I hear noises, and I hear crinkling, and I look, and all three dogs, they got the bag on the floor, and they're all three just devouring the bag. And I'm like, yeah, you couldn't go for the cheap, you know, like Aldi's bread. You had to take the good butter bread, right? Yep. Southern dogs, they know what's good. So they're funny. So jumping into Seeds of Hope, this story also I thought was really cool. And again, an attest to human kindness, people that have nothing giving what little they have for others. I thought it was very, very touching. And it's about a woman who talks about her son. And she said, "We picked my mother up for lunch today, took her to Jay's per her request. The place with the burrito head mascot is where the mom wanted to go." You know how old folks are. We, you know, we don't remember things, the names of places, but we remember, like, you know, the picture out front or whatever, or landmarks. And she says, "On our way there, I noticed a greater number of panhandlers who appeared homeless working on the summer heat on the streets. While eating lunch, a man entered the restaurant and went to the restroom. He then placed his pack on an empty booth and sat to rearrange his few belongings. He didn't purchase anything. He didn't eat. I noticed my boys were watching him. He looked hot and ragged, and though I didn't know his story, I wondered if what he was carrying was all he owned. We continued eating and got lost in conversation. He surprised me when he approached our booth. 'Excuse me, I don't mean to disturb you,' he said. 'I'm not going to lie. I cringed a little on the inside, waiting for what? His request for money? None came. He held out an orange shirt, looking in my son's direction. 'This shirt is a little small for me, and, well, I didn't want to have to carry it around. I thought it might fit you.' My son isn't comfortable with many people, most certainly not strangers, and most certainly not ones that rattle all of our thinking about unspoken lines in the sand, boundaries, and the only truths we've known about our comfortable world and anyone else's. The man watched my son's reaction and said, "It's okay, it's clean." I wanted to explain my son's hesitation. He has autism and anxiety, but I didn't. I took it from him and smiled. I thanked him. I told him my son was going to camp and could use another shirt while he was there. I did this for my son's benefit too, as well as to seem grateful. The man never asked us for money or appeared as if he was even considering it. I thanked him again. As he was turning to walk away, he softly said something about unlikely blessings. He was quickly gone from the restaurant. I don't know who needed that reminder more. At any rate, I think we all took a little bit of it in. So that one really got to me, because it's another story of a human being who has nothing and he's willing to give what little he has to someone else. And then the boy having autism and anxiety, I automatically thought of your little Sethy. And I thought, isn't that the coolest thing?
It really is.
Because the little boy didn't know how to respond to him, you know, so he didn't have the capability to respond to him, you know.
It really is amazing. You know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of different social experiments done, and all of them point to people that are homeless or, you know, very destitute, poverty ridden, are the most likely ones to give the shirt off their back if it's requested. Whereas those that have everything literally will give you nothing. You know, it just, it amazes me because, you know, I've been in that position and
we all have.
When you come from that position, you know, I mean, how hard it is when you have nothing or when you're lacking certain things. So to see someone else in hardship, you learn empathy, you know, you learn how to be empathetic to that person that's going through troubles. And it makes you into a human being, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like
Absolutely.
The idea of I think everybody, by law, there should be a federal law that every single person has to work retail at least once in their life, you know, just to have a knowledge of being sympathetic towards people that are helping you out, you know.
They should have to work retail and work at a bar.
Yes.
Once in their life.
And I've done both. I've done both.
I love you, Ira.
I've even worked in a call center.
True,
so
I mean, you got to work. You want to work in some serious circles and get to know about people and their behaviors and their patterns. You know, work in retail, work in a bar, and work like where I used to live, like down closer to the city, and work like in a bridal boutique and check out some of the bridezillas that come in. Oh my gosh!
I would toss in being a call center kind of a person too, tech help or something like that. You know, because I've done that too. There's some serious nightmare stories I could tell with that thing too. So.
Oh my gosh, and I'm sure you have enough comedy stories from there alone to write a book too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No kidding. Too funny. But anyway, yeah, that one reminded me of the man a couple of weeks ago that we did in England that, remember, he helped the little girl in the bombing?
Yeah, yeah.
In the explosion, yeah. They have nothing, and they're willing to give everything. And those are the true souls, the true good souls. It's amazing to see that. And every time I hear a story like that, it touches me deeply, because as you said, so many of us are very fortunate. We, you know, unfortunately don't give a lot of thought to that, you know, or we take for granted what we have. We're not thankful for what we really have, you know, and, to see somebody who has nothing, just literally give his clothing away. It was amazing. Anyway. So yeah, I'm getting really some mushy ones this week, huh? So going into those crazy kids, this one I thought was amazing too. According to statistics, since 1998, around 712 children are thought to have died from heat stroke in the United States alone after having been left in hot vehicles, which don't even get me started on kids in vehicles and dogs in vehicles, animals in vehicles and hot cars, because you know how I feel about that. But thanks to one bright 10-year-old boy called Bishop Curry from McKinney, Texas, tragic and preventable deaths like these could soon be a thing of the past. This fifth grader has invented something called the Oasis, which is a clever little gadget that monitors the temperature inside the car. Once it gets to a certain level, the device emits cool air while simultaneously alerting parents and authorities via an antenna. The idea for the Oasis came to Bishop after he learned that his neighbor's six-month-old infant had died from being in an overheated car. And although he only has a 3D clay model of the device at the moment, he and his father have so far managed to raise over $24,000 for their invention on GoFundMe. The money will go towards manufacturing the device as well as securing the patent for it. So if you haven't already, head on over to their fundraising page, please, and help to bring this brilliant project to life. If you can so afford even to give this kid a couple of dollars, I think it's an amazing invention. And, you know, here again, something that he heard of in a real life experience directly affected him so greatly that he wanted to do something to help humanity because of the 6-month-old that he knew that passed. And I don't even want to broach how that happened, you know, why that happened. But I thought that was an amazing story as well. What do you think?
I ran across this one a few days ago myself, and I'll tell you, you know, it's amazing what the minds of kids can come up with. Something like this is really great. You know, it's like, again, out of adversity can come some really amazing things. There's, you know, this problem, not to segue too much here, but I was reminded of a thing that I was talking about on my show not too long ago, where a newscaster was talking about ways to remind yourself that you have a baby in the back seat. And one of the things that they suggested was, well, put something important back there, like your purse or your cell phone, so that when you reach back, you can see that the child is still there. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wait a minute, since when did your cell phone or your purse become more important than your child? I could not legitimately.
How did you forget you have a child, child in the back seat?
I could not legitimately be that newscaster and try to say that without going completely off and saying, what is wrong with you people that you think something is more important than your child, you know? But anyways, it reminded me of that, and it's such a problem. Again, like you said in the statistics there, you know, over 700 kids have passed away from this type of murder. I mean, that's what it is. It's a type of murder.
Texas in the hot weather. I mean, I have friends that come from Texas and friends that live there, and it's like their heat index compared to ours is so much incredibly higher. It's so much hotter there in the summer months. How could you even consider, even for 30 seconds, leaving, not even, you know, in the instance of an animal, but your child, your baby child in the car?
Yep.
It's just, it blows my mind. It does. And I pray for these people. I really do. That they'll, you know, develop a sense of intelligence somehow and recognize the fact that you cannot leave a living creature in a car, in a hot car, and even if it were wintertime or even moderate temperatures, unattended, period. You know? It's like, oh, God.
Especially in today's day and age, you know, anybody, I know people that leave their kids out in their cars, you know, they run into the gas station or whatever, and the car is just sitting there running. And
not safe anymore.
Yeah.
It's not safe anymore. Somebody could get in that car and take off with your child. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to have that 5 minutes of peace in the grocery store? You know, I mean, that's your child. Yeah. Why have children?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to go down that judgmental road because that's not what I'm about. It just upsets me to see loss of life over just carelessness. It really does. I pray for these people every day. I do. So, all right, moving on. Happiness homework. This came to me because I've done it before, and I always see the look on their face and their appreciativeness. But when you go grocery shopping, it's so financially hard nowadays for everyone. We're all struggling, it seems. But especially, you know, our veterans and the people that are retired, they're living on a fixed income, and it's very hard for them to make ends meet, as well as for everyone, but especially for your elderly neighbors. When grocery shopping, when you're out, just like pick up a loaf of bread or, you know, a half gallon of milk or something and just drop it by to them. You know, they'll be very appreciative, and you never know, that might make the difference between whether or not they had a meal to eat or something to drink. And I know that on the occasion that I'm able to do that for my neighbors, they're always very, very grateful and appreciative. And, you know, they do kind things in exchange, you know, like she'll knock on my door with some cookies or, you know, we exchange plants, you know, things like that, just simple kindnesses. but especially for our elderly people. You know, I think it would be a really nice thing to do. And even though it's tough financially for a lot of people, just that dollar or two can make a world of difference to someone who really is having a tough time, you know, that's on a fixed income. The medicines nowadays and the changes in insurance and, you know, just their out-of-pocket for co-pays is overwhelming. Is, you know, when you have an elderly person that's on 3 or 4 or 5 medications and co-pays for doctor's visits and gas to the doctor, and then just trying to make it on a fixed income, especially if they're a widower and all by themselves, you know, I think it would be a really cool thing. So please try that if you're able. And if you're not, you know, hopefully someone will do that for you at some point. So
absolutely.
How about we go into, we got to lighten the mood a little bit. You want to go into comedy corner?
We can do that for sure.
Pain's hitting, dude.
Yep. Well, relax for a few minutes and have a good laugh. We will see you on the other side of Comedy Corner here.
I can't stand it when I pay my good money to go to see a celebrity entertainer, and then he's going to tell me things what he wants me to do. I'm like, no, it's your show. You throw your hands in the air like you just don't care. Before I could even come to the door, I was subjected to a purse check. I had to walk through a naked body scan. I was subjected to a wand down, a pat down. Plus, I had to throw my egg sandwich and sardines away before they could even let me come in the door. I paid $55 for a $5 t-shirt just because it had your name on it. Oh, I can't. And don't be walking around the stage like this. Now the microphone go like this. Keep the microphone like this. I didn't pay to hear all these pitiful people around me trying to sing your song. I want to hear you sing your song. Telling me to throw my hands in the air. Waving like I just, I may not feel like doing nothing. I might be tired.
If you're over 35, too, technology doesn't have you by the throat. Doesn't own you, and I like that. People my age look at technology like, yeah, I can't figure that out. Just turn the radio on or something. I don't know. I don't believe in all those buttons, man. And let me tell you something. If you're under 25 and you use your cell phone a lot, I want you to do me a favor. For 2 hours a day, I want you to put your phone in your drawer. That way you remember how to hold a conversation. To someone under 25 without 2 minutes into the conversation, they pull that phone out and start hitting them buttons. It's like watching a chimp peel a peanut at the zoo. There's a they act like their phone's their personality, right? That's all they want to talk about is that phone. I always tell young guys, work on your car. Nobody ever got laid in the back of an iPhone. They love that phone, man. They want to tell you all about it. Look, check out my phone, bro. Check it out. Check it out. Oh, look at it. Look at it. Look at that. Look at all the applications. This one tells me the weather in 5 different places I'm never going to be. Look at that. That's awesome. You ever notice they never make any grown-up applications? It's just all to trick kids into blinking lights. Look, it's blinking, it swirls, that's magic. I'm gonna make something for my age group. Make me a wife app. That way I can scream into that phone, I'll be home when I said I'll be home. And then you hit the button and she hears, honey, I'm a little delayed. I want you to know I was thinking about you. I love you. And I'll be home soon. Like, that shows you how old I am. I just hung up the iPhone. See that? Put that right on the rocker. Not a fan of all the buttons, man, and I'll tell you why. I have a 7-year-old, and I don't want him to have to download his childhood. You understand? I want him to be a kid. I want him to go outside and play and think of stuff to do. And it's hard as a parent, man. You got to let him play some video games, right? Because you got to let him keep up with his boys at school. You don't want to be that weird kid at the lunch table shooting marbles going, "My dad says this is a video game." I'm trying to do that. There's got to be a happy middle ground. I don't want him to be one of them video vegetables, you know what I mean? Go outside and play. That's it. You know, use your imagination. You know, we didn't have a Nano or a PlayStation or an iPod or a PSP or a... I had a stick. And on a good day, a roll of caps and a rock. That was it. That was it.
My dad says this is a video game.
And I wanted to finish it up with blip, blip, blip. That's all, folks. That's where I was going at the end, at the beginning. I'm like, can I talk? Isn't he great? I know we played him before, and you absolutely loved him. So yes. I said, let me give you another shot of him. He's really cool, Billy Gardell.
He's awesome.
And then the first one was, how would you pronounce that? I'll let you butcher her name so I don't have to.
Wambui Bahati.
There you go. Good job. Good job. So she was pretty funny, I thought, too. She's one of the lesser known. She didn't have a lot of hits, you know, but I thought she was funny. What'd you think?
Yeah, definitely love it. Love it.
So there you go. So jumping into healing herbs, again, we're stretching, but I picked celery seed this week. Celery seed extract is a great herbal medicinal. It's helpful in the promotion of relaxation and restful sleep. Use of this natural medicine can also aid in the reduction of headache and nervousness, while also helping the digestive system if taken before and after meals. And out of Richard Whelan's medical website, it says that celery has also been a strong traditional treatment for gout and for kidney stones, being seen as able to flush out impurities from the body. And that was one of the reasons I had chosen that this week, is because I actually had a couple of people who were battling problems with kidney stones, and I was giving them all natural recipes for flushes and had been looking up foods that could help them with that, and celery seed popped right up. So, and it's something that I always keep in my cupboard. So I thought this would be a good one to do this week. Celery as a food and as a medicine has been historically used to sweeten the breath and to help the fat to become lean. And the image stick, of course, everybody's seen that on the dieter's plate, you know, the picture of one celery stick next to their, you know, organic lunch or their diet food, you know, it's like a staple in pretty much any diet picture you're looking at, right? Also, the thing that I like about it, it's regarded as an extremely safe herb that can be used by all ages, including pregnant and breastfeeding women.
Yep.
It's also really good as a kidney disease.
It's also really good.
What's
as
that?
A, it's also really good as a alternative to brushing. You know, if you don't have a brush available to brush your teeth, you can use chew on celery.
Yeah.
You know, and
it
helps you at least clean the teeth.
Sweeten breath too. Yeah. Isn't that cool? I like the taste of it. So
I love celery.
I don't know. There you go. So a person, of course, why not? We're that much alike. A person who has kidney disease may find strong celery seed extracts to be aggravating, as it contains an essential oil. Terpenes and phthalates, and especially the 3-N-butyl, that has potent effects on stimulating kidney cells. So there you go. And I actually, I had sent a picture on Facebook of something that was growing in my flowers. I thought it was angelica that I had planted, but it looked kind of like hemlock. And when I looked at the picture of the celery seed, I'm actually starting to think that it's celery seed that I have growing out there, although I hadn't planted any. So I hadn't planted hemlock either, but I did plant angelica. So I'm thinking it looks like celery seed. So I'm going to have a botanist friend of mine come out and look at it and see for sure. But that would be cool if it's celery seed. Don't really want hemlock with the doggies, but we'll see. So the recipe that I chose for this week, of course, because it's the first week of the month, we do like a tincture or something like that, or a tea. I chose to use celery seed tea for the gout, because I also had an instance of a person who was complaining of symptoms of the gout. So all you do with that is you place 15 grams, which is approximately half an ounce of organic unsprayed celery seed, in a saucepan with one large cup of water. Briefly bring the celery seeds to the boil, cover the saucepan, and then allow the mixture to cool for 5 to 7 minutes. Then strain off the liquid from the seeds and drink it. You might find it helpful to dilute it with some cool water if it's too hot or too thick to be easily drunk nice and quickly. This is not a tea that you want to drink for pleasure. You can repeat this treatment as often as required. You can do it twice or up to a maximum of 3 times a day. And if things are particularly bad, but note that it's still, if things are particularly bad though, but note that if it still may take up to like 48 hours to see a major turnaround with the gout. So some relief for the gout. So that was my recipe for the week. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I definitely would give it a shot. You know, I'm a big fan of things like celery salt, and I just love celery in general. You know, it's great. I don't know. Are you a big fan of the ants on a log thing?
The celery with peanut butter and raisins?
Yeah, I don't like it with the raisins, but I'll take it with the peanut butter. So I like
it
antless.
I give it to the kids all the time for snacks, yeah. And like Halloween time too, you know, when you're doing like these little treats that like are bug related, you know, to be scary, like the peeled grapes that are eyeballs.
Yep.
I used to do that for Halloween parties too, ants on a log. And yeah, I found for me, because my daughter particularly was kind of fussy when she was little, she wouldn't eat the celery. But if I put the peanut butter and the raisins on it and called it ants on a log, she, you know, of course she'd eat it. So it's a good way to get your kids to eat the celery if they don't like it too. So let's see, what else we got here? Well, we got way cool affirmations in scripture. The one that I chose this week, again, is because of emails and stuff that I have been getting from people that were searching for answers for this week. It seemed like primarily career moves and, you know, life changes. Should I move to a different area or environment? And so I chose this one. And as always, you can put it on a sticky note or put it on your phone and just say it throughout the day. And eventually, you know, your mindset will change to where it will help you. So the one that I chose this week was, the answer is right before me, even if I am not seeing it yet. And back to King Jimmy, you know, as you know, that's my favorite because it's more, you know, I use NIV a lot in the show because it's just easier for people to understand. But I feel that it loses a lot in the different translations. So I always find for myself anyway, I revert back to King Jimmy. But Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there you go. That was my way cool affirmations in scripture for the week. What do you think?
I like it. Definitely. It's a good one this time around. As opposed to the other times, right? No.
Yeah, right. You suck, Ira. No, I love you, Ira.
But, you know, it falls into everything that I say. I say this so often on my shows. I'm sure everybody's sick of hearing it. But, you know, everything does happen for a reason, even if that reason isn't
Absolutely.
Readily apparent. You know, you might not know at that moment in time, and you might not never know why a situation came up or why a certain circumstance happened. And it might actually not be for you. You might be the facilitator for a lesson or for whatever it is that the other person is going through. So, you know, everything does happen for a reason, even if you don't know it right away.
Absolutely. Totally in agreement on that one. So for this week, because we're getting our shows ready to go up so that we can put them on YouTube and get more exposure, we've gone to an original music format. And this guy is just amazing. His name is Patrick Carr. And you can get a hold of him at Cartunes, C-A-R-R-T-U-N-E-S, at pwcarmusic.com. Check him out on SoundClick. I think his songs are like, they're sick cheap. They're like 98 cents a piece or something. And you can get a hold of him at http://pwcarmusic.com. Check out his stuff. He's amazing. And his lyrics really fit the show. So he's a very cool guy. He's originally from Louisiana. You can definitely get that feel from his music. So we're going to use his show for the introduction and ending for the Positude podcast from now on. And we're going to start off using him this week, the full song, so you can get to hear the whole thing as the music to dance and jam while we go pee. So how about we go ahead with that?
Alrighty, sounds good. Here you guys go. It's a short one, so enjoy. Go pee quickly.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer. All those years I spent in lonely isolation, claiming I had no regrets for the things I'd done. Filled my mind, drained my body, stained my soul, and now I'm fine, 'cause I know that my Lord has made me whole. I'm gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna do some talking about Jesus, telling everybody everywhere, to turn the people on to the love that's there.
So there you guys go.
There you go, buddy. Radio station. Don't those lyrics like totally fit? It's peppy. It's jammy. I barely got to pee, but that's cool. Hey, how much time have we got left?
We have about, 15 minutes.
What?
Yep.
Well, we have left things my dad says, and let's see. I can do a Maggie's Moments. So, what should we go into first?
Want to
do a Maggie's
that.
Moment?
Yeah,
what do you want to do? You pick.
We can do the Maggie's Moments. Like, that'll be good.
You're so easy. I love you, Ira. So, let's see. Maggie's Moments this week. There were a couple good ones this week. Let me think. Okay, I'll tell you about a case that I was working on long distance, and the people were struggling. They were looking for some affirmation and some guidance because the husband had lost his job recently, and the woman is not able to work. She's disabled, and she'd really like to be able to go back to work. She'd like to do a lot of things in life that unfortunately physically she's not able to do anymore. And when you hear stories like that, you know, it always touches me because she's got the desire and the drive to, like, she wants to buy a motorcycle so badly. And because of her physical limitations now, without giving away too much of her personal life, she's not able to do so because the affliction that she has affects her brain. And so, you know, her husband is very concerned. And she's a motorcycle buff. She wants to go out and ride again. She wants her own bike, and she wants to be able to see the countryside, and she doesn't want to be a passenger. You know, she really would like to have her own motorcycle again, and it's just, it's too dangerous for her at this point. Her husband doesn't feel it safe. Her child doesn't feel it safe, and I have to concur. It's not a safe venture for her. So, you know, when people contact me and they need help with situations, it's very difficult for me at times to have to tell them, you know, I have to agree, you know, with your husband or your family member. It's not physically a good thing for you right now. But you also want to encourage hope and, you know, redirection, you know, finding other things that interest her that she is able to physically do this time. You know, kind of helps to boost their spirits a little bit, especially when they're feeling very depressed about what they can't do. I always try and help them focus on what they can do instead, you know. So, you know, working on bikes or refurbishing bikes or, you know, maybe picking up an old bike at a yard sale or at an auction and being able to restore it. And then, you know, using those proceeds because she's not able to physically work a regular job, to be able to sell that unit, you know, to be able to help to substantiate her family's income. you know, was what I thought was a pretty decent solution. And, you know, so that way she could still be around the motorcycles and, you know, restore them and put her love and energy into the bike, give her something positive to do with her time, and then help her feel as though she's advantageous to the family too, because at this point in her life, she was really feeling kind of useless. You know, she was feeling as though she wasn't a real contribution to the family. So having, you know, the ability to be able to do something like that because of her knowledge and having her family help her to restore the, you know, the bike and then be able to sell it to help the family pay the bills, I thought was a really cool way for her to feel more, more valid, you know, and to be able to be around something that she loves so much. But, you know, like I said, unfortunately, you know, she kind of argued with me at first and she's like, well, I would definitely use a helmet and I'm fine. But she has instances of blackouts and confusion and loss of coordination, you know, so it's really not a safe thing for her to be able to physically drive a bike on her own right now, you know, at least not out on the road. Maybe in a supervised environment, like on her yard or something. But, you know, anybody who's ever driven a bike before knows, you know, that's not satisfactory. The whole thing about it is being able to, you know, get off on a backcountry road and feel the wind through your hair and have the freedom of running and riding. And, of course, you know, accelerating speed. I mean, not to, you don't want to put yourself at jeopardy, but, you know, just the freedom of riding and, so that was one of the suggestions that I presented to her. And, you know, it was nice to hear her actually be excited about something for a change and to actually feel her mindset change and to give her that little bit of hope. And then it's just so recently that she actually messaged me to let me know that her husband did find a job. He was able to find employment, and so the family would be able to get back on track and be able to catch up on their bills and do some things that they've needed to do, you know, repair work around the house or what have you. And, you know, another thing that I suggested to her that I thought was very helpful was just around the house when she wasn't feeling good, to incorporate her family into her lifestyle a little more so that, you know, sometimes when they're not as empathetic to what she's going through on a daily basis, you know, so many times we kind of jump to conclusions and, okay, that person's home all day. What do they do all day? Well, when you're struggling with an instance of a mental debilitation and a physical limitation, you know, on the outside, you may look perfectly healthy. But people on the outside in really don't understand that the struggles that these people go through daily, you know, instances of memory loss or forgetfulness or almost a seizure-like state in which, you know, they could be in the middle of cooking dinner and then, you know, get distracted and forget that dinner's on the stove or burn dinner, you know, of course, not intentionally, but things like this happen. So to be able to have her family members, you know, stay around her in a situation where she were cooking or cleaning and just follow her around for a day to see and have a little empathy as to what she physically struggles with on a daily basis. And people that have accused her of, oh, you're not working, you know, why don't you do this or why don't you get more done during the day, to really try to develop an understanding of what her struggles are and how her mind works by watching her, by following her around, you know, start to cook dinner and then just observe and watch her get distracted and maybe, you know, go outside and water the plants and come back in and dinner's burnt, or watch her go into that state where, you know, she's forgetful when she's in the middle of a task, and watch her facial features to be able to recognize a little more, you know, when she's going into an episode or when she's having a hard time with something, and maybe assisting her through that situation, you know. So that to me was a really good conversation, and it was a way for me to help her feel better about herself, and then also a way to hopefully, you know, with the love and support of her family, be a little more sensitive to her needs and to what she struggles with daily, because all she wants to do is provide for her family, be a productive member of the family, and take care of her family the way that she always had previous to her becoming afflicted, you know? So I thought that was a really cool story. And people like that, I think, just don't get enough positive attention sometimes. It's really easy to get frustrated with someone in that situation and just, you know, really forget about what they're struggling with on a daily basis. And she's got a heart of gold. She would give people the shirt off of her back, you know, and to just have a little more empathy and a little more sympathy to people like that who are struggling, and to be able to hopefully bring her family a little closer together so that they do understand a little more about what she's going through. And just to be able to hear the excitement in her voice at the prospect of having something that she could do around something that she loves to do, and having a hand in that without physically being able to ride at this time. So I give her a lot of credit. She's a very courageous woman. She's a very strong woman in so many ways. She's a kind and caring person. And it's really nice when I'm able to talk to somebody like that and make them feel better about themselves and their situation, you know. So that was my Maggie's moment for the week. What do you think?
Well, I like it. And I will say, you know, adding to I don't know, maybe sort of segue a little bit, but I think everybody has a niche, you know, everybody has something that they can do, that they could make a profession out of, you know, really. And it's regardless of what other conditions they might have going on. And it may not be, you know, a lot. You might $5 a month or something like that, you know, but it's still something, right? And you can still feel good about contributing, you know, contributing to the household, to the family, so on and so forth. So, you know, for those that are out there that are struggling with, you know, trying to, I don't know, I guess taking it from my own perspective, you know, I beat myself up a lot when I was given the diagnosis of blindness and, you know, thinking to myself, well, you know, I was raised as a man, you know, and I'm supposed to provide for the family and all this, you know, rot that goes with it. And I beat myself up for a long time over it. You know, I struggled with depression because of it and all that stuff, you know, and it was difficult for me, but
especially being a man and, you know,
that's
being raised
traditionally
to be the breadwinner and the supporter of the household. And then having something like that happen and not being able to do it, just, you know, what it does to your self-esteem is just so debilitating and so stressful. And just, yeah, I can totally understand where you're coming from and why you would feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, you know.
It's definitely something that a lot of guys go through. You know, we again, a lot of guys are raised with that attitude of you're the breadwinner, you're the provider, you have to do it. And if you don't, then you're not any kind of man. And, you know, I still once in a while struggle with that kind of thought creep up in my head. But
sure,
there's,
I bet you do.
Again, there's nothing you can do about that. It's the way you were raised, you know, so it's going to creep back up once in a while. And, you know, I just look at it and say, okay, well, thanks for bringing that up. I acknowledge you, but, you know, I don't need you in my life. So you can go your own way, you know, so just the way that I look at it, I guess.
And I think in your instance too, you know, it's important for all the family members, you know, involved to pull together and to help in a situation like that, because that's going to make everybody's life easier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your wife is an amazing person and we all know how hard she works and the contributions that are there, and just for everybody in the household to contribute a little bit of anything that they can, whether it be helping to clean the house or monetarily or what have you. When we pull together as a family unit in a sense like that, or an instance like that, rather, it makes the whole family unit stronger. You know, it brings you all closer together.
Yep.
Whereas you being in your situation, if you had people in your situation that aren't helping you, that have the potential to help you, that's hurting the whole family unit, right? It's
right. It's
putting stress on the entire family
it's
unit, and that's not beneficial to the unit as a whole,
yeah,
especially when you have children, you know?
It's disempowering to the person who's suffering through whatever it is that they're going through. And that in turn, you know, causes stress on the rest of the household.
Absolutely. Wow. So there you go. That's my Maggie's moments for the week and my Ira's moment for the week. So we've got time for Things My Dad Says. How much time we got left?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes.
Okie dokie, let me breeze through this. Okay, gotcha covered. you know, a lot of times when we do things that we do for other people, regardless of our financial situation or our personal struggles, you know, again, going back to the story before, the guy who has nothing, you still want to help humanity and do things. And there was an instance earlier this week where my dad did something really kind for my daughter, actually. And, you know, my take on it was that, you know, maybe somebody in the household, maybe I misheard, but maybe somebody in the household was like kind of, you know, picking on him about that, or like, why are you doing that for her kind of thing. And my dad's response was, you know what, I'm going to do what I want. It's my business. And so got you covered. He's always looking out for other people and trying to help other people. And that's, you know, obviously my life work too. That's how I live my life every single day. And just to be able to, you know, be able to extend that help to somebody that really needs it, you know, or, you know, it's just a little thing you did for my girl, but to her it meant a lot, and she really appreciated it, and she didn't ask for it, you know, got you covered. That's kind of like how he rolls, you know, I got you covered. And there was an instance earlier this week of a person that was coming off of, I think it was like an opiate addiction or something, for pain medication, for like a back injury. And one of my friends knew that I do healing work. And so she tagged me in his post. You know, he was asking for people to either send energy or somebody that was in his area to travel to him. Would they be willing to donate, you know, some healing time to this guy? And, you know, right away, I put down, got you covered. Send me his private messages, address or whatever, and I'll do whatever I can to help the guy. And somebody else as a sideline made a remark to me about that. And I'm like, that's really none of your business. You know, if I say I got somebody covered and I want to do something to help someone, you know, that's not your place to tell me that I can't do that or that I shouldn't do that without charging someone for services. So that's my Things My Dad Says for the week. Got you covered. And if you can help anybody, you know, it's your business. Do your thing. Help who you can help. Do whatever makes you feel good or feels right to you. And don't let anybody else influence you.
You got it exactly.
That's my Things My Dad Says.
And you don't even have to tell anybody that you're doing it. You can just do it yourself and you know, let them go on with life.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly. Somebody saw the gotcha covered private message me and made a comment about that to me personally. Well, how come you're not charging that person? We make a living by charging people for what we do. Well, that's your business. If I choose not to charge somebody, that's my business.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So there you go.
You got it. And with that, we're out of time.
Thank you very much, Ira. Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you, Maggie.
And here's a little bit more of that Pat Carr. Love this guy. Thank you, Ira. You were going to thank me, weren't you?
I just did, actually, but you were your phone didn't hear it. So thank you, Maggie, for everything you do. And we will talk to you again next week.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Gonna go out walking in the world. Breathe a little clean, fresh air. Find a place to offer up a silent prayer.